We start today's program with the city of Phoenix's food tax. The 2% tax was implemented in 2010 when the economy was still in a deep hole. It's scheduled to sunset in March of 2015, but many people would like to see it go away, or at least be cut in half, before that. Phoenix's 4th District Councilman Tom Simplaw joins me for a few minutes to talk about it. Councilman, good morning. Councilman, have you heard from passionate people who want to get rid of the food tax immediately or cut in half? Because we've heard that there are a lot of people who want to get rid of it, but have you actually heard from those people, and what are they telling you?
The only conversations I've had have come from outside of my district, and that is because in the central city, the concern is about the level of service, and there's an understanding that a level of service requires the funds to pay for it. So I think the dialogue's a little different with the central city political districts.
Has this been an issue, just from your perspective, that has been blown out of proportion a little bit based on how people's lives are impacted by the food tax?
I do believe that a minority of our residents have created the impression that this is a much bigger issue on people's minds than it truly is.
Is there legitimacy to the point of trying to balance out services with the need to recognize that some people are affected by a higher tax like this? Is there indication from city manager's office, anyone else, any reports you've heard that it's affected sales in the city?
No, there's absolutely no indication of that at all, Steve. As a matter of fact, just the contrary, sales tax revenues are up considerably. New car sales are up considerably. Any offset that someone may argue with regard to the food sales would clearly be offset by any of the other retail sales tax.
And public hearings and meetings, we've heard they weren't full of clamor and arguing. So you're getting out of politics, at least for a while, at the end of your term. So why is this such a big deal? You mentioned the minority voices. Is that what it is? Are people sort of looking for a story, this idea that the economy's not in the dumps as it was, so it's time to get rid of this? But as you've said, maybe the facts don't quite align with that?
I think that is the case. I think the political, with the mayor's race, I think the political dialogue skewed a certain direction. I think there were promises made by both candidates. I think that fueled the fire. And quite frankly, Steve, I voted to end the food tax on the day we put it into place because it was always set to sunset. It was always scheduled to sunset in 2015, and it's still going to. So I think they're making a lot of hay out of nothing.
Well, can you give me a preview of what you think might happen this afternoon?
The fact that city management was able to present a budget which allowed us to cut the tax in half effective January 1st, coming up this January 1st, really made all the difference. I think today's vote will probably, if not unanimous, will be darn close to reduce the tax in half starting in January and then, of course, eliminate it on schedule as we originally had planned in 2015.
Is there any reason to think, even based on what you're saying, that since there will be a new city manager in place, we presume early next year, I would guess, to give that city manager a crack at the budget as well and see what it would look like without the food tax at all?
I think that's always the city manager's prerogative, to try to find ways to reduce costs and still provide service levels. So I think whoever is in that position on a permanent basis will be able to do that. I think the flip side is a different story. A new city manager would find it very difficult to try to extend the food tax beyond 2015. I don't think there's any political will to do that whatsoever, either now or with the new city council.
Tom, what's the dynamic on the council? And I don't mean from a personal level, but even with this particular issue, which has been hot button for everyone. You mentioned in the mayor's race, it's a nonpartisan panel, but you're someone who was with one party, now you're with another party. Is there a feeling that there are real factions on the council when it comes to issues like this, or is there a real give and take that you've noticed?
I think it boils down to whether or not someone is from the central city or from one of the suburban areas. Our suburban areas don't require as many services. They require a different level of services. And quite frankly, they don't need as much. And so the dynamic is different. If you live in the central core, you know that we have more graffiti, we have probably more crime, we have street issues, we have an aging infrastructure. we have all of those issues, and we're prepared to pay for that because we know the benefits of living in the central city. And that boils down to three of us on the council primarily, and at times maybe a fourth.
Tom, finally, while I have you, the Pension Fairness and Spiking Elimination Subcommittee, their recommendations have been criticized primarily in the Arizona Republic that I've noticed by a couple of columnists. How much does the city lose if pension reforms are considered too dramatic? Does the city offer enough incentives and money to compete if there aren't some of those pension advantages? I mean, I know this is something that cities all across the country are having to deal with.
Well, I think without a doubt, the hidden pension perks got out of hand, without a doubt. Over the course of 25 years, we had a management team working with our employee representatives who simply allowed an opportunity to, quite frankly, hide these compensation perks. And that's not right. To me, it boils down to fairness and transparency. We need to be fair to our employees. If they've been working for the city for 20 years and told to maintain their vacation and sick leave and were told that it would be pensionable, we need to live up to that bargain. We need to live up to that agreement. Moving forward, that's a different story. We need to pay people what the job is worth and be open and honest about what that is.
City of Phoenix's 4th District Councilman Tom Simplot, thanks so much.
Thanks.